Thank you, Lord. Well, if you want to open your Bibles to Philemon, verse 4. Thank you, Lord. Right before Hebrews. Thank God. Thank you, Lord. We're going to kind of pick up where we left off a couple weeks ago, talking about our identity in Christ. Thank you, Lord. And I'm thinking we'll probably just camp there for a while. Thank God. Thank you, Lord. And we've already been talking, you know, a little bit about some of these things, just even in communion, because that's really what it's all about. And I just have it on my heart just to stay here for a while. What God has done in us through Christ, if we can get a hold of that, and that can become real to us, everything just flows from that. You know, if we can get that settled and know what we have, what is already ours, because we have so much. The thing is, I mean, every person that's been born again on the face of the earth, they have everything that Christ has provided, but a lot of people don't know. Millions don't know. Millions are praying prayers that they have no business praying because God has already taken care of what they're praying about. Or they're coming asking God for things that He's already given. They're coming to God trying to get Him to do something and He's already done it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And so we don't want to be those people. We don't want to be the ignorant. We want to know what is ours in Christ. If we can get that into our hearts, everything else flows from that. Then we won't be going to God asking Him for something that has already been given. Then we'll be going to Him, we'll be standing on our rights and privileges and walking through this earth as children and sons and daughters of Almighty God. Verse 4 in Philemon says, I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith, which you have toward the Lord Jesus, and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Yeah. Which is in you. The acknowledging of every good thing which is in you or in us in Christ Jesus. I'm just going to point this out in several of these scriptures we're going to read here. Notice in verse 5, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. You know we're saints?
Yes, amen.
We are saints.
Amen.
Saints aren't people, certain specific people, that have gone on and they did something and then the church says, well, that person, they're just really phenomenal, so we're going to call them a saint. Now, churches do that. But that's not what the Bible teaches. You're going to see it here over. It calls the people that are in the church saints. We're saints. Hallelujah. We are saints of God. Glory to God. Let me see if I have something here. One moment. Hallelujah. Hold your finger there. In Philemon, and turn over to Luke. Turn over to Luke 7, verse 28. Glory to God. Everybody has a sheet, right? Thank you, Lord. Luke 7, verse 28. So Jesus has just gotten done talking about John the Baptist. He refers to him in the previous verses. And then he says in verse 28, "For I say to you, among those born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist." So that would include Moses, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, anybody you want to name. What is Jesus saying? He said, "Of those born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist." But look at the next verse, or next part of that verse. "But he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." He who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he, than John the Baptist. See, we have, because we're in Jesus, because we're in Christ, even the least person has all these rights and privileges. Jesus said he's greater than John the Baptist. And so we are talking about saints. People say, "Oh, well, this person, they're just mightily used of God, and boy, they just have something the rest of us don't." Well, they may be called to do something for God in a certain way. We all are called in certain capacities. But your rights and privileges in Christ, they have no more than the person that you would call quote-unquote least in the kingdom of God. A new baby Christian that just got born again 5 minutes ago has the same authority and same privileges in Christ as anybody you want to name. As Brother Hagin, as Andrew Wama, anybody you want to name, they don't have any more authority in Christ than a brand new baby Christian. Now, people may be called to do certain things and walk in certain anointings, but we have to separate what we're called to do and what God has endowed us to do with our rights and privileges in the family. Those are two different things. Amen?
Yeah.
So we, as Christians, just because we're in Christ, we have rights and privileges. We have an inheritance.
Thank you, Lord.
Let's turn back over to Philemon. That's vital. Because sometimes we think, "Oh, well, if I just, you know, so-and-so were here, then they could put us over here. Well, they could put me over, or they could pray and something would really happen." Well, the only reason there would be a difference is that that person believes in what they already have.
Amen.
That's the difference. It's faith. It's them. They may have a hold of what they already have in Christ, but they themselves, in and of their own person, don't have anything more than you and I have. We all have the same rights and privileges through Christ. It's part of the family. See, we're in the family of God. As being a part of the family, things come with the package in the family. Now, we may have different jobs to do in the family, but just when you're in the family, with that automatically comes certain rights and privileges. See, the devil likes to hoodwink us and trick us and say, "Well, you know, you start going along these lines trying to believe God." You shouldn't use the word trying, but people use that, trying to believe God. But you go along the lines putting your rights and privileges into practice, the devil will come to you and say, "Well, you don't really believe you're going to get that. You don't believe the devil will listen to you, do you? Well, you don't have the faith of so-and-so. You don't have this person. If this person were praying, something would happen." Well, he's trying to get you to think that they have something you don't. And that's a lie. Because what's the outcome of what he's telling you there? "Well, yeah, you're right, I don't. So you're not going to give the command. So you're not going to stand on those rights and privileges if you believe the lie." That's what he wants. Because the reality is, if you give the command, if you stand on those rights and privileges and you're in Christ, things have to happen, and he knows that. So what's he going to do? Try to get you not to use it.
Amen.
Not to stand on your ability. Not to stand in what has already been purchased and bought and paid for.
Amen.
Because he knows if you do stand on that, he can do nothing about it. So the only hope he has is to get you deceived into thinking you don't have what you already have. And this is where a large percentage of the body of Christ is today. They don't know what they have.
That's right. That's true.
The devil's hoodwinked a lot of people through religion, through false teaching, through teaching that it has come up because people have not, because they've missed it somewhere and something, you know, somebody goes on to be with the Lord earlier and somebody, and so somebody is trying to explain something. They get up in a funeral and say, well, we just don't know why so-and-so came. This is where new doctrines get created. This is where new teachings that are false come because people are looking to explain something that they don't understand. So they come up with something that isn't in the Word of God, that isn't in the Bible, and they spout it as if it were, and then it gets passed down and passed down, and people just accept it, and it's not the Word. Devil's fine with this. He's fine with this because people, they believe this is the way it's got to be. I'm just an old beggar. I don't have anything in this earth. Just wait till we get to heaven, and that's not true. That's not true. But the devil just fine with us believing that. Because you're not going to do anything with it. If you believe you're just a beggar, you believe you don't have anything, you believe, well, I just don't have enough faith, you know, hey, you may need to get faith in that you look at the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, like what we're doing this morning, of just finding out what Jesus has done. If you believe it and take a hold of it, that's faith. Faith isn't this magical substance that you just do a bunch of stuff and then, boy, now you have faith. No, faith is just, see, it comes by hearing, just like we're doing now, hearing that Jesus has provided it and it's our inheritance and that it's in Christ. And if we have it and we believe it, that's faith. We stand up, take it, it's ours. Amen? Glory to God. A brother at Rhema was speaking on righteousness. Had a class on righteousness, and he said, the devil, when you start, if you start getting a hold of righteousness, and this all goes together, your righteousness, the fact that you're righteous goes along with the fact that Jesus has already bought and paid for you everything, and so that's part of your inheritance. You're righteous, and he, with that package, that means you're in the family. All these things go together, so it all goes together. When you start standing up on righteousness, he was using that specific item, righteousness, but it goes for everything we're talking about. He said, it's like, you know, you have a crowd sitting here. When you stand up, you know, you're sitting. You stand up, you stick out like a sore thumb. The devil's going to try to knock you down as soon as he can. You stand up and say, I'm righteous. I have this in Christ. This is what Jesus has done for me. He's going to try to knock you down and try to get you to sit down and relinquish that as fast as possible. Because when you stand up, you stick out, and he knows you're a threat. If you get to the point where you actually believe these things that are in the Bible, he's done. He's done dealing. So what is he going to try to do? Talk you out of it. He's a con man. He's a swindler. He's going to try to get you to think what we talked about this before, deceive. One of the definitions of deceive is to get to think on something that is not true. So if you're deceiving somebody, you're causing them to think on something that's false. That's not true. You're getting them to believe a falsehood. Well, the Bible calls the devil the deceiver. We're not going to go into, you know, these, but in Revelation, that serpent of old, the deceiver, he's going to be loosed to go and deceive all the nations. That's what he does. He's a deceiver. Just chalk it up. That's what the devil does. That's his name. He's he's a liar and the father of it. So when you hear him spouting something, it's a lie. It might have a bit of truth in it. It might be a half-truth, but it's still a lie. It's still not the whole truth. Yes, he'll use scripture, but he'll twist it. Yes, he'll use what somebody said, but he'll twist it. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. When he comes at you and tries to, you know, intimidate you, he's just throwing his arms around, yelling, trying to get you to shut up and sit down. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But he does not want us to know what Christ has done. What we're saying here in Philemon, if you're back there, Verse 5, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Notice, not which is going to be in you, which you'll attain if you live a really good life. He said, which is in you.
Amen.
It's in there.
Amen.
It's in us. We have it.
That's right.
We have it. Now, what does he say? That the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of everything, every good thing which is in you. We need to acknowledge what is already in us and what he has done. What is a done deal? What is finished? Look on your scripture sheet. Philemon 4 in the Amplified says, and I pray that the participation in and sharing of your faith may produce and promote full recognition and appreciation and understanding and precise knowledge of every good thing that is ours in our identification with Christ Jesus and unto his glory. I'm going to read that again. That's a mouthful. But let your heart grab it while we're reading it. I pray that the participation in and sharing of your faith may produce and promote full recognition, that we recognize it, and appreciation, that we appreciate what has been done, and understanding. Now, we're not going to fully understand every little bit about how that actually works, but we understand what he has done. We don't have to understand how everything worked. We don't have to understand. I use my cell phone every day. I don't understand everything about it. But it works. I just need to use it. So we need to understand what he's done. We don't have to understand how the waveforms are transmitted over the air and so on and so forth. We don't have to understand that. We just need to understand that what it can do for me and how to use it. And precise knowledge of every good thing that is ours in our identification with Christ Jesus and unto his glory. That is ours. Because we're identified with Christ, because we're his family, that we have things. It's just part of the package. Like I said, a brand new baby, born again, baby Christian, just got born again 5 minutes ago, can stand up, tell the devil where to go, and he has to obey. What's the caveat? The Christian has to know what is his.
Amen.
Period.
Yeah.
That's the key. You got to know it and be convinced of it and not get pushed off. Thank God.
Yeah.
Let's turn over to Colossians. Thank you, Lord. Colossians 1:11. Paul is praying for the Colossians, or saying what he does pray. Let's just pick it up in verse 10. Time's sake, he says, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Verse 11, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power. For all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Verse 12, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us. He has qualified us. He has qualified us. Has qualified us. Jesus. Who qualified us? Jesus qualified us. We're qualified.
That's right.
To do what? To be partakers of the inheritance. What's an inheritance? Something you receive. Did you work up the inheritance? Did you stock the inheritance? No, it was given to you.
Amen.
So what is he saying? We've been qualified to be partakers of the inheritance. We are qualified. Say, I'm qualified. Say it again. I'm qualified. One more time. I'm qualified. We are qualified. Well, I don't feel qualified. Doesn't matter. I said it doesn't matter. See, this is what defeats a lot of people. I don't feel like I'm qualified. So, let me ask you something. If somebody died and left you a bunch of money, you don't feel like you really deserve it. You don't feel even like, I don't feel like going down to the bank or the lawyer's office or wherever I have to go to claim it. Does that have anything to do with the fact that it's yours legally? None whatsoever. If you went before a judge and said, well, Your Honor, I just don't feel like I received it. I'm worthy of this. Look at you. So? They deal with the law. I just heard a definition. Law is reason without passion. You are going by what the law says, regardless of what you feel about it. It doesn't matter. You can jump up and down, but if it's against the law, you can jump up and down all day. It's still against the law. But if it's with the law, you can jump up all, you know, jump up and down, spit, holler. If it's in line with the law, that's it. If the judge is going to say, yeah, but son, it's yours. But I don't feel like it. Yeah, but it says right here, it's yours. So what's he going to do? Well, you don't feel like it, so yeah, you're right. I'm going to throw it. What's he going to do? Where's it going to go? The only legal person it can go to is you. He can't change it because of the way you feel. Now, if you don't go down to pick it up and to go and sign the papers, that's a problem. You're not going to get it that way. But this is exactly what happens. We have an inheritance whether we feel like it or not. We have an inheritance whether we know about it or not. So there are a lot of people that don't know what Jesus has done, and so they're in the dark. Why? Because they don't know. Amen. Then there are people that have the inheritance and they're not receiving the benefits because they let the devil talk them out of it. I don't think I'm worthy. I don't think I know enough. Well, if you know this, hey, start there. Take advantage of what you do know and hear. You don't have to know everything. Take advantage of what you do know. You don't have to know every jot and tittle and everything to take advantage of it. You just have to know what you know to take advantage of it. Again, you know, we talked about a cell phone, but I drove here, and I'm not a mechanic. I drove here in my car, and it worked for me. I don't know. I couldn't fix a majority of things in my car. If you said, you know, pop the hood, and here, you gotta make this work. I couldn't do it. That's not my trade. I'm not really that way inclined. I've never worked on cars. I don't know a lot about my car. Maybe some of you would know more. But I still drove here, and it still worked for me. What do I need to know? I need to know how to get in the car. I need to know that I need a key. I need to know where to put that key and how to get the car started. I need to know how to put it in gear. I need to know how the gas pedal works. You know, how the brake pedal works. I need, you know, if I don't want to get a ticket, I need to know to obey the signs and how fast to go. Maybe a few other things I need to know to do my signals and such, but to operate the car, that's pretty much what I need to know. And I drove here. It'd be, you know, it's great if I know those other things if my car breaks down, but as long as I know somebody who knows how to fix it, then I can take it to them. So what do I need to know to get the car to work? Just the basics. Well, we don't need to know the answer to every question to get our inheritance that God has provided. We just need to know, number one, that it exists and that it's ours. Number one, it's ours. That Jesus has provided it for us and it's ours, that He has qualified us. That He has. That we're qualified. Number one, that it's ours. Number two, that we're qualified to partake. That'll get you pretty far right there. And right there, that knowledge is further than a lot of people in the world. A lot of Christians don't believe it. They don't really believe there's anything to inherit. And if they believe there's something to inherit, they're not qualified. Somebody else. Well, maybe the saints. Maybe somebody else are qualified, but not me. Won't work for me. That's exactly what the devil wants you to think. There is an enemy. Make no mistake, there is an enemy. And his number one job is to get you not to use what is yours. He doesn't want us to use what is ours and to take what the Bible says is rightfully ours. Thank God for the Word. Thank God we have it written and we can look it up, this legal document, and say, I see it. It's right here. And that's where faith is going to come. It's not because I said it. It's not because you heard somebody else say it. We need to know what the legal document says, and if we can find it in here and get that to where we know it, that's what's going to make all the difference. Believe me, people listen to tapes all the time. People read scriptures that somebody else told them to read all the time. But it's not becoming real to them. They don't know. They're still in the mode that somebody said it. Well, then you're putting your faith in what somebody else said instead of what God said. And the devil doesn't care. Because, and I'm not making him big because he's, oh my gosh, the devil is so small. Hallelujah. The devil is so small. I've gotten a revelation of this lately. Oh, goodness. Not really what we're preaching on, but it's still pertinent anyway, because you need to know. The devil is small. He's been stripped. He is not this big, powerful enemy. He has been stripped. He is powerless. Yeah, yeah. He is powerless. I don't know how tall he physically is, but every time you hear Brother Hagin or somebody talk about that they've seen demons, they're like a monkey. They're not big. And they've been stripped. Hallelujah. They have been stripped.
Amen.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We'll go into some of that another time. We're not focusing on that. I think we'll wait. But you just got to know, the devil is not all he says he is. He's a liar. Glory to God. Verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. And that's really what I want to focus on today. I think we're going to get too far, but it's good anyhow, is our inheritance.
Yes.
Just that we, number one, you need to know we have an inheritance and it's ours. We'll be talking about what the inheritance is and going through some of these things. Number one, we need to know that there is an inheritance to be had. And number two, it's ours.
Amen.
If we can get that settled,
amen.
Glory to God. That's a lot of the battle right there. Thank God. Let's read a few of the scriptures that we read last week. I just want you to just go to your scripture sheet for the sake of time, because we read these last week. But they are 2 weeks ago.
Hallelujah.
Ephesians 1, verse 1. Says Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Notice this. To the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Who's he writing to? The church? Who's he writing to? The saints? Who's the saints? It's us, the church. That's it. We're the church. We're saints. We're saints of God. To the saints who are in Ephesus. Notice he didn't say the saints that have been gone on and to be with the Lord and that have, you know, gone through some process and we've decided that's a saint. These people are alive. I know that some churches say, well, you know, we've gone through this process and this person's a saint. It's not Bible.
Yeah.
To the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Verse 2, grace to you and peace from our God, or from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Who's blessed us with every spiritual blessing. See, that's our inheritance. He has blessed us. Has. He has blessed us. 2 Peter 1 on your sheet. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us. Those who have obtained like precious faith. Like precious faith, just like the apostle Peter.
Amen.
Amen. We have the same. We can have the same faith. We've attained like precious faith by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. Read that verse again. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. What are we talking about? We're talking about knowledge of what God has done through Jesus. Grace and peace are multiplied when, as you find out what is ours through Jesus. Grace and peace multiplied. The more we find out what God has already done, more grace and peace. When we're fretting about, well, I just don't know if God will do this. I don't know if God will do this. What about this? I don't know. Well, we don't know. That's part of the problem. That's part of the issue, is that we don't know what is ours. And so we're going around fretting, looking from here to... And we can do this even if we so-called know. Even if we've heard. But we only know what we do. You can have heard something, but if you don't act like it in day-to-day life, you don't know it. You've heard it. Then a lot of people get deceived here because they think they know something and then they're not really doing it. And then they think it doesn't work. And now they start pushing away from the thing that they think doesn't work when actually they never really did anything with it. They heard something. And so people can get to, well, I heard that faith stuff, or I heard that grace stuff, or I heard that healing. It doesn't work. No, it does work. It's the Word of God. But if we've heard something, we don't actually do it, then we can deceive ourselves into thinking something that is true is not, and then we reject the thing that we think doesn't work when the fact is we never really did anything with it. We just heard it, acknowledged it, think everything's going to change like magic. Yeah. Oh, I wish it were like that. But no, we have to take it, believe it for ourselves, and make it so in our life. Yeah. And the enemy will challenge you on this. Now, he's been stripped, he's defeated, he's nobody, but he'll still try to make you think and try to get you to believe lies and try to strip you. He will. But grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. Glory to God. And back up a little bit, where he said, has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He has given. They've been provided. All things that pertain to life and godliness have been provided. They have been. They've been given. They've been given. They've been given. All things. Yeah, but I don't know about this section of my life. No, but it's been given. It's been provided. It has been provided. Say, it's been provided. It has been. It's been provided. To given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through what? Through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. Amen. Through the promises, you may be partakers of the divine nature. What's the divine nature? The nature of God that's been shed abroad. The love of God's been shed abroad in you, your heart. Well, what's God? God is love. You have the nature of God in you. If you've been born again, even if it's a minute ago, you have the nature and life of God. So how are we going to be partakers of that divine nature? Through knowledge of the Word. So we know what is ours, and then we take advantage of it. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go to one more scripture. Let's go to Romans. Let's just turn over there, and then I think we'll close with this. And we'll get into some more next week. Thank you, Lord. God's bringing us up. He's going to bring every one of us up to another level. He is faithful. Glory to God. Romans 8, verse 14. Thank God. For as many, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. Notice that. We didn't receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. But you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The spirit of adoption. The spirit of adoption. We've been adopted into this family.
Yes.
So we've been adopted because of what He did into this family, and with that come the promises, come the inheritance. We've been adopted. Now we're in the family. Now these things are ours. They're ours. Well, I just don't feel like they're mine, Brother Jim. I don't feel like they're mine. They are, because God said they are. And He said these are part of the family package. You get in the family, these promises are yours. The inheritance comes with the family. He said, but you receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father, or Daddy. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The Spirit Himself is saying, yep, you're a child of God. Inside, you're a child of God. You're a new creation. This is yours. And if you listen, when we're speaking the Word, when I'm up here preaching the Word and it's the Word of God and it's in line with the Spirit, you'll find that the Spirit of God inside of you is saying, yep, that's right. Yep, that's right. Yep, that's right. Listen to that. Take a hold of that. It's bearing witness.
Yes, amen.
That's how you can always tell error.
Yeah.
It, no matter who's preaching or somebody, don't ever accept anything that somebody says because of who they are. It has to go to the Word. Somebody said this one time, well, one of my instructors at Rhema, he said the less scripture you have on, when somebody's preaching on something, the less scripture they give, the more you base your evaluation on what they're saying on who they are. I'm going to say that again. The less scripture somebody gives, the more you base your evaluation or the truth of what they're saying on who they are. In other words, they give you just a little bit of scripture, but you say, yeah, but look who they are. Now, I'm not saying that's bad, but I'm saying that's just how we work. But that you have to have the Word. I don't care if it's me or anybody else. You got to be able to go back to the Bible and says, not so-and-so said it, and this is somebody's opinion on it. You have to say the Bible says it.
Yeah.
Amen? And so a new baby Christian 5 minutes ago could hear a sermon and say, that's not right. That's not right. No, that's not right. I don't know, but something in the other people have been around that maybe have bought some things say, oh yeah, that's right. But the person that's new could say, nope, that's wrong. If they're listening to their heart.
That's right.
But people will override. They'll hear something inside of them scratching, but then they'll look around and say, well, I haven't been Christian as long as this person. They've been Christians 20, 30 years. Who am I? Well, this must be right. No. No, that's how people just keep going in the wrong direction. If you feel like something's grieving you inside, make sure it's the Spirit of God. Make sure it's not something that you're, just wanting to be critical of somebody. But I'm saying something is not on the Word of God. My point is a baby Christian has just as much ability to hear that and correction from God as a person that's been 20 or 30 years. Verse 16, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified with Him. Glorified together. Verse 17, and if children, then heirs. If we're children, then we're heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. That means whatever He bought for us, we are joint heirs with Him. Amen? So what He bought for us, we are joint heirs with Him, joint heirs of Christ. We have an inheritance. Amen? We have what Jesus purchased, it's ours. We've been qualified.
Yes.
Like we said earlier, what he purchased for us. Wouldn't it be silly if Jesus purchased all he did for us, but then we weren't qualified? Well, who is qualified? He purchased it for, it'd be like I bought you a present, but you're not qualified to receive it. Well, why would I buy you a present? I bought it for you, but you're not qualified? Then I'm wasting my time. No, he purchased it for us and qualified us in one fell swoop. Through what he did, he purchased it, and he qualified anybody that will receive it. It comes with the package. We are qualified. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord.